This podcast was created by the Arts and Junior Cycle team for the Junior Cycle Talks channel.
Welcome to this Arts and Junior Cycle podcast. Today we are delighted to have with us Barry Morgan and Carl Thornton. Thank you very much, Barry and Carl, for joining us this afternoon. Can I first of all just ask you, Barry, how do you pronounce your theatre company's name?
Great question. So it's Tolchu Theatre. Tolchu was the goddess of the arts. She cleared the way for the arts in Ireland, and she was the foster mother of Lou, who County Louth is named after, which is where we're both from. And after she died, Lou would have a festival for her in her honour, which became Lunasa, which you might know from Dancing at Lunasa.
Absolutely. So thank you for that. First of all, then, I'm just going to ask you to tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you came to set up this theatre company. And I'm going to start with Cahill.
Yeah, cool. So I'm a freelance youth theatre practitioner, youth theatre facilitator. That's my kind of bread and butter. I think the two of us crossed paths with a youth theatre project a couple of years ago, and we realised we had the same kind of taste and stuff, the same interest in movies and video games and music.
What was great about that project was that we were working with a bunch of young people. We had 5 days to make a 20-minute piece, and nothing. We had just the blank page to start with, so we really had to jump into the deep end together to rely on each other. And at the end of the process, we were like, wow, that was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, and there's a great kind of fulfilment, I suppose, to helping young people achieve their potential, to see in these young people that, like, I know I was where you are and I know where you can get to, to kind of bring them on that journey.
Mm. So we know that you got involved and you set up your theatre company as a result of your involvement in youth theatre in Drogheda.
Once I kind of got the bug, as they say, in youth theatre, it was about, right, how do I do this in third level? So I auditioned for all the colleges and I went to DIT in Rathmines and did the performance, did a drama performance degree down there, which was fantastic. And then that's where we met.
All went downhill from there.
Yeah, all downhill.
I actually took a year out. Knew in myself that I kind of wasn't ready maybe to go to university. So I took a year out and got involved in loads of amazing projects. I did a bit of work with Upstate Theatre Project, who are this community theatre group in Drogheda going back decades, you know, and they're amazing. Because I think if I'd gone straight from school and youth theatre into university, I probably would have dropped out. But because I kind of experienced a bit more by the time I got to university, I felt a bit more ready for it. So yeah, then I went to Trinity and did the Drama and Theatre Studies course there in the Beckett Centre. It was amazing. Much like Barry said, like, I met a load of amazing people, did a few shows with DU players. We did one Natural 20, which was a Dungeons & Dragons show, and it won an ISDA for innovative storytelling.
How would you describe the kind of theatre that you create?
Yeah, our whole thing is interactive theatre, so we kind of describe it as a live-action video game. The two of us, obviously, big interest in video games growing up, and we're always keen to explore, like, how can we make this live? You know, how can we bring what we love about video games into theatre? For me, it's about agency. It's like reading a book. You know, the story doesn't happen unless you actively put in effort. How do we make it so the action won't happen without the audience? It's a story about them as much as the people on stage.
So it's really interactive.
Yeah, it's very interactive. It's all about, you know, the audience telling characters on stage what to do. So, for example, if Barry has something that my character needs, what should I do? Ask Barry. Barry, can I have that key that you got there?
Yeah, sure. Here you go.
Thank you. What'll I do with the key? So the audience are kind of pushing the drama along at every stage.
I think when we were hashing out these ideas, when we kind of took this plunge together, it was the interactive theatre was definitely one aspect, but then there was also the facilitation. We kind of see it as a dual approach. We really want to continue to work with people in the room. So we might, that might include an audience. So we'll prep an audience before they come see a show, or material that's explored during a show. We might run workshops after to kind of really engage participants in a kind of a deeper, fuller level. Kind of like Cotla was saying, the amount of shows that I've gone to see that are exploring incredible work, but after the applause and once people walk out, they kind of drop that. I really believe in this idea of pursuing and engaging more to, in order to really fully understand, get to grips with the material that's explored on stage, and how that can kind of lead to maybe change outside of the space and in kind of the real world, you know.
Can I just ask you then about who are your target audience and participants?
We started off, I suppose, writing the material first, and we're like, okay, this is definitely a show for younger people. The first show that we did was called Under the Bed, and it was for 8 to 12 year olds. So yeah, it was about that kind of growing up phase, and when you're leaving primary school and moving on to secondary school. Then other material that we've written has been kind of more geared towards older teens as well. We're not calling ourselves like we are a theatre for younger people exclusively. We really just focus on how can we engage people in that interactivity. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think because of the kind of direction we take the theatre, that interactivity, that live action video game, it tends to lend itself to a younger aesthetic. But yeah, how do we bring that to an older audience now, more general audience, because we're hitting that stage now where people have grown up with video games, and like, I think a more general audience would kind of speak that language.
I think kind of what Cottle was saying there, that we're the generation that have grown up and even older than us.
Yeah.
There is kind of a general understanding of the mechanics and how it works. I think in terms of like splitting it across gender, it's interesting because most of the shows that we've like the audience that have come to see the shows are fairly even split. I think computer games in general, I think it's actually, is it more than, actually more than 50% are female. So I think it's kind of a outdated idea to think that like video games are just for guys. I think it's, let's mix it all up and have everybody involved with everything.
From what you're saying, that it's the interactivity really, that you can actually steer the course of the action.
Yeah.
It's not passive, as you
said.
Yeah,
it lends itself to that kind of almost panto of, he's behind you. For me, there's nothing worse than sitting watching a film and being so frustrated, being like, I know what the answer to this problem you're facing is. So for the audience, we're like, yeah, okay, tell us what the answer is, you know? And it creates this mad energy of like, you have 100 kids in the theatre screaming at the one guy who's got the microphone who's telling me what to do. Like, get the thing that's over there. And it just whips up into this frenzy that like, everybody's suddenly so invested because they know what they're saying will affect what's on stage.
Okay.
I think there's something lovely as well about like young people telling adults what to do for a change. You know, it's a nice flip. And us responding to that and acknowledging it and going, yeah, okay, let's see what happens with that suggestion, rather than going, that's wrong, you know.
I suppose leading on from the kind of theatre that you produce and you create, which other playwrights, directors, theatre practitioners have influenced your work?
There's so many to name, I suppose. I think for us, it's figuring out who brings that level of interactivity. And there are very few theatre companies doing it, which I think is what kind of sets us apart. So for me, I think big influences are actually the facilitators that I've gotten to work with over the years. Sharon Cromwell, Veronica Coburn, Dave Kelly. There's so many that create a space where we collaborate as a facilitator and a participant in order to progress the workshop.
But I suppose one, what I'm wondering is whether, I suppose, playback theatre comes to mind for me, and Augusto Boal,
absolutely,
and also Brecht.
What we're doing is, you know, right, what would you do if you were me? And like that Brecht, like we always kind of come out and begin the show by saying, right, this is a point and click adventure play, and explaining the whole form and the process and what it is. We're telling them what they're about to see, what is about to happen, you know, to really kind of break down those, but there's no fourth wall. This is a play, but you're taking part in the play, you know?
To remind people of that kind of, that epic theatre, that Brechtian idea of like, if you get too involved in the minutia of this one particular character, you might forget the context that we're trying to talk about. So yeah, I think by reminding people, yeah, this is a play about a dragon and a fella who goes under the bed, but it's really about the struggles of growing up and having to maybe shed some friends because they're going to different places. And we're using Brecht, we're using Boal, we're using that kind of style of theatre in order to communicate to young people a bigger idea than just the nuance of the play.
Exactly. And I think also to maybe even take action, to take it with them as they leave the theatre and maybe do something about it, whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of driven by a Confucius quote that is, if you tell me, I will forget. If you show me, I might remember. If you involve me, I will understand. And it's all about that, just getting people involved in the project to really get like a full, robust kind of learning. It's a kind of key driver for us as we create the work that we make.
You have a current residency with Druid Arts Centre. Can you just tell us a bit more about what this involves and any projects that you have undertaken as part of the residency? So I'll start with Cathal again.
Yeah, so it's been amazing. Our residency with the Druid Arts Centre started in March 2020. And we all know what happened in March 2020 to theatres. It was amazing to have support of the local arts centre and have that kind of funding to be able to kind of figure out how to make theatre in COVID, you know, and pivot left, right and centre. So we've been really lucky to explore like lots of different mediums. Like We made a podcast, we made an audio tour of Drogheda, we made a few video projects as well. We did a show on Zoom that, yeah, we've been really lucky to be supported to kind of figure things out and try and learn and fail along the way as a young theatre company as well, to go, okay, we know where the gaps in our skills are.
Yeah, we're coming to the tail end of it now. So we have maybe two projects left before we finish around March or April 2022.
When you're beginning to work on a theatre piece, do you start with a theme or a setting or a character? How do you start to develop an idea for theatre?
It's an interesting one. It kind of changes project to project. So the first, Under the Bed, started with how do we make these games on stage? That was really kind of mechanic led. And then we were like, oh, well, then this feels like, what if a dragon come out there and what if this? So that was kind of puzzle oriented first. And then I think there's other times where like, okay, we're going to do something in December, so it's Christmas themed. Great. So that takes that kind of pressure off. And then we've just done one a couple of months ago that was Halloween themed. So then the nuance of the conversation becomes about, well, do we go murder mystery? Do we do horror stories? But I think when we get started, it's throwing ideas at a wall, kind of really, if we had a blank page and you said, right, you can make something, I think we'd just start talking about what do we want to explore, what's kind of happening in the world now, what have we always wanted to talk about but haven't seen represented anywhere on stage, or what has been, and we go, oh, I wanted to go further. How can we use the time and the space that we have to kind of pursue the idea? And that starts with just talking, just bouncing ideas off each other.
Yeah, like we have this thing that we joke about called the pile, where like one of us will have an idea and text the other and go, all right, stick that on the pile. We have this big, massive, long document that like, every now and then we'll go to and be like, oh yeah, there's that thing we'll pull out. Yeah, it's about kind of, I suppose, taking out the right thing from our arsenal whenever we need it, you know?
But I do think it's just about looking and finding inspiration everywhere. If you approach the world with that idea of anything can be something, then you will see it everywhere. So you might be watching a match and you'll see something in the audience, or you might be just looking at the news and what gets reported, how it gets reported, why it doesn't get reported, if you see it somewhere else, if you're watching a film, if you're watching anything. Watching people interact is always great as well. I'm not into this idea of like they're specific like artistic geniuses that are born to do this. I think everyone is creative. Everyone can be an artist. And it's just about allowing yourself to see that stuff, because it is there to be seen, you know, and what inspires you might inspire someone else, and that's okay. And just because somebody has this lovely idea that you're like, how did you do that? It's about figuring out what you want to do and what you want to put into the world.
What does a typical day look like for you, Carl, at the moment?
Yeah, so I suppose when the two of us are working on something, it starts with two coffees and two sausage rolls and then sitting down in the office. I mean, we're really lucky in that like a working day when we're together doesn't really feel like work. You know, it's a bit cliched, but it is that kind of thing of you sit down and kind of have the crack and suddenly we've got this thing and, well, it's not half bad, you know?
Yeah, it's been an interesting process, like during COVID, because theatre is meant to be ethereal. It's meant to be present and then gone. You might have some still photography, you might have a video, you might have whatever, but so everything that we have made over the past 2 years has been digital, has been captured. So it's the radio play we made that short film, we made an interactive kind of walk about Drogheda. So that was kind of necessity, I suppose, rather than if we were able to get into the theatre, we probably wouldn't have made that stuff. I think from the very start, we start just writing things down, typing it up. Google Docs are great, like all that sort of nitty gritty sort of stuff where we can share files very quickly. How do we make this as easy for us as possible? And then sometimes we just get into a room with a big flip board and write it all down. But yeah, it's really about trying to capture the ideas as they come up.
What kind of questions would you ask yourselves to move that work along?
Yeah, so I suppose when we're starting out, it's kind of what if and then what and what about and why not? Those kind of really open-ended questions. And then when we're kind of getting later on in the process, might be, yeah, but actually that doesn't make sense, or yeah, but why does this happen? That was kind of like plot holes, for want of a better term, that we need to kind of iron out the kinks of. And then in terms of mechanics, those kind of video game shows, it's like, is this too easy? Is there a 10-minute timer on this and test audiences are solving it in a minute and a half? If that's the case, the show's over in 15 minutes and everybody feels a bit ripped off, you know? So yeah, it's about finding that balance, you know, pitched at the right level.
What is it about that creative process that excites you the most?
I think it's the freedom and the potential. And that's whether we're working together, whether we're working with a group of young people in a room, or I think when you have that blank page or that empty space, what could happen? That's so exciting, because literally anything can happen. And I think that can be daunting as well, because it's like anything can happen now. I have to make something, you know, it's to put yourself under the pressure to do something. But I think when you get people playing together, if you get them into a room and they just play, the creativity will flourish up. When you get people working together and playing together, that's where the amazing stuff can happen.
Yeah, it's similar, but for me, it's just that it's fun, you know? Like, it's just a fun way of exploring these things.
And then what is there anything around the process that you find difficult or challenging?
Yeah, I think every single thing, getting out of bed in the morning sometimes is tough. Sometimes that blank page or that empty space is kind of terrifying. And I think then the fun thing to do at the end of the project is to look back and go, how did we make that? If you asked me now to write that show, I wouldn't be able to, you know? That way you kind of surprise yourself that it is possible. And I think to take the fear out of it is by getting into a room with someone and playing and talking and sharing ideas. And when you find someone that work in that safe space, whether it's one person like myself and Cottle or in a group setting or whatever, I think it's if you find a safe space that you're able to explore ideas, that's where you can fight the fear of the difficult side of creating theatre.
Yeah, and obviously you collaborate. So would you say that collaboration is key?
Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah. I don't think either of us would have done anything of what we've done if it weren't for the other, you know. Mm. There's a bit of like hold each other accountable as well. I really promised Barry I'd have this draft done by 6 o'clock and it's 5 to 6, so I just have to do it. And, you know, it's always like, right, come on, we're going to get this done for each other as much as ourselves to make it easier on one another.
It's like even a one-person show takes so many people, and it is a collaborative process, which is kind of at the core of theatre. If you have somebody performing and nobody's watching, it's not theatre, is it? You know, you need that element of working together. Yeah, collaboration is key.
How do you know, and because you've done some productions recently and so it's all fresh in your mind, but how do you know when a story or a piece that you've created is done?
Normally because the deadline was 2 weeks ago. I think it'd be fair to say that we're both a bit like, we need a deadline or it won't work. So yeah, it's always about that kind of deadline. There's a quote, and I can't even remember for the life of me who it's by, that like, play isn't finished, it's abandoned. You know, eventually there comes a point where we have to open the doors, we have to let the audience in, it has to be seen in the state it's in. And normally the state it's in is perfect. It's what the play is meant to be.
I think that's where theatre is great, because you just have to do it. But I think it's because, you know, theatre is in the moment and then it's gone. So, yeah, you can remount a show and you can try and figure it out and do all those bits and bobs. There's something lovely about the fact that it doesn't last forever, you know? Because, yeah, you could obsess over every single detail till the end of time and then you'll never make anything. Having some sort of deadline, having some audience coming in who've paid their money and they want to see the show, that's not a bad thing.
Are there any standout productions that you are particularly proud of? And why?
Yeah, for me, it's Under the Bed. It was kind of tipped on earlier, but that kind of atmosphere of 100 school children, I don't think anything has captured that lightning in a bottle for me since.
So in Under the Bed, that you were both performing in that show.
Yeah. That really was great. Another kind of aspect of the work that we do, we were running a youth theatre out in Mosny Direct Provision Centre called Impact Youth Theatre. In 2019, we got to take part in the Abbey 5x5. So we got a week in the Peacock to create, kind of similar to how we actually first collaborated with that idea of like, you have 5 days and you have a sharing at the end of the week. So we were working with the young people from Direct Provision, and it was only a work in progress. We still haven't refined it into a full show, but there was something really impactful there. I'm still very kind of interested in where that can go and what can come from it.
So how many young people were involved in that from the Direct Provision Centre?
15 young people, most of whom had never done theatre before, some musicians, some aspiring stand-up comedians. We had 5 days to create something together. It was, again, that collaborative process of the empty space.
So moving on, what advice might you give to teachers who would like to explore drama, theatre with their students for the first time?
Yeah, I think it's about getting into the space. Like, the best thing about theatre is that there are many rights. Like, there's many rights and there's a couple of wrongs as well. So you work with the young people to create a group contract. We won't be sexist or homophobic or racist or anything like that. But apart from that, let's explore plenty of stuff, you know. You will get people who'll push the boundaries, and that's where you still have to facilitate to negotiate that conversation. But I do think it's about letting people express themselves in that space. You're obviously going to have those people who are looking for the spotlight the whole time. You'll have the people who throw the jokes out and jump up. And if you can get them learning a monologue and writing a piece, and they'll be amazing, they'll take over the world that way. That's great. That's a massive success. But you also will have maybe the quiet person who maybe shares one idea in the workshop, and that's equally as big a success. I think it's about gauging that for each individual person.
What projects then are coming up for you next?
Yeah, so like we mentioned, we're kind of finishing up our residency with the Druid Arts Centre, and that might involve a live theatre piece. And then our work in Mosley is going to continue. We have a few exciting things kind of in the pipeline, which I don't think we're allowed to talk about just yet, but
watch this space.
Yeah, find us on Facebook. Yeah, we kind of have a few plates spinning, but we always have a few plates spinning anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for giving up your time and speaking to us this afternoon.
It's been lovely, yeah.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast, which was created by the Arts and Junior Cycle team for Junior Cycle Talks podcast channel. To hear more from Junior Cycle Talks, search for us on SoundCloud or anywhere you listen to your podcasts.